Welcome to episode 259 of the Outback Mind podcast. Thanks so much for listening in. Thanks for the feedback from the last podcast I did with Peter Bond. Really amazing chat if you'd like to check that out if you haven't already. Great fellow with a great story. Now, I'm going to talk today with a gentleman by the name of Cam Dubin. Cam is 40, I think he's 40, and he's been looking after his son Jaden since he was 18 months old as a single dad, traveling pretty much around the country, homeschooling his son, which is a mammoth task. But I do know these guys quite well because they attend our men's circles. Father and son come along, which is wonderful. And they've got, you know, tremendous stories. Jaden, being a homeschool kid, so bright and intelligent and clever. He has his own race car. He does all these wonderful things. You know, we're going to talk about the reasons for, having Jaden homeschooled today with Cam. And also, you know, his personal journey, which is really amazing. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy this chat. If you want to reach out, have a look at the website, outbackmind.org.au. If you'd like to help us with a donation to help us out, would be wonderful, or become a member. We've got a few memberships available now, which is great. And we've also got a new documentary coming out next month called Boiling Point, which is around domestic violence prevention. So really want to try and get that out into more communities. So if you're interested in having a look, check out the website. You'll see the trailer on there, and appreciate an email or any feedback on that one. So I have Cam here with me today. How are you, mate?
Fantastic, Aaron. Thanks so much for having me. Really, really grateful to be here.
Pleasure. I'm grateful to have you on. And I love doing these podcasts with salt of the earth, people that aren't, well known, that don't have a profile and are really, great human beings that don't really get to tell their story very often. So we're going to have a really good chat, mate.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
I'm fascinated by your story, you know, and determination to raise a son on your own. Because that's no mean feat, but I've watched Jaden turn into a magnificent young man. We're going to talk about that more in detail, but I'd like to know a bit about your journey as a young fella.
Yeah, look, the catalyst for this journey was me engaging a counsellor 13 odd years ago. My boss, the business that I worked for, he was someone who dealt with an incredible amount of stress, yet he was very, very well adjusted and totally sorted out. And he saw that I was struggling after leaving Jaden's mum and suggested that I see a counsellor, and gave me the number of his counsellor and said that he'd shout me some sessions. Ultimately, the counsellor said to me one day, "If you could do anything tomorrow, what would you do?" And I said, "Spend the day with Jaden." And she said, "What about the day after that?" And I said, "Same thing." And she looked at me and said, "Then why are you going to work fixing computers all day for?" I was an IT tech at the time. I grew up with a gay mother, so never had a father figure in my life. And from the age of about 8, I always distinctly remember, vividly remember thinking, I'm going to be the father that I never had. And I took different parts of my mate's fathers and went, I'm going to do that with my kid. And so when she said that to me, you know, do you have to go to work and do this corporate IT gig? It was mind blowing. I walked out of there like with tears streaming down my face. Like, do I have to do this? Mm-hmm. 6 months later, I had parted a car that I had 10 years and, you know, $100,000 in, sold every other possession I owned, bought a car and a caravan, a very cheap one, and took off with Jaden, who was then 3.5. Jaden was diagnosed with autism at 2.5. I've got a background in early childhood in my younger years. And so that was really the journey that got all this started, is just engaging a counsellor and having someone to talk to and then really saying, you know, what is it that you want to do? And that's what made me make the decision to sell everything and take off travelling with Jaden.
Incredible, mate. That's, that is one of those unique moments where you get given guidance, which is pretty rare. If someone's given you an open door to move forward with your life rather than stay stuck, that's a gifted counsellor. To be able to see in you that, you know, you needed something to get you connected with yourself, which is really key, and that way your life can be transformational, I guess.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So initially we planned on... The plan was to do a year and prepare Jaden for school. Because I've got a background in early childhood, I thought, well, I can work one-on-one with Jaden, help prepare him for school, and then I can go back to work. They held my job for me. They paid my phone and internet bill while we traveled. I fell in love with the lifestyle. Initially, it was meeting people. We did about 3 months in Byron to get Jaden used to life in a caravan, and meeting all these people that were doing seasonal work, doing fruit picking and stuff, and they'd work for, you know, a couple of months at a time, and then take off for 10 months and do whatever they want. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like, is this an option of life? Like, it was so foreign to me. And I met people, you know, living in the back of old vans and things that had nothing. And they were eating pasta for dinner and drinking $3 bottles of red wine. And they're some of the happiest people I've ever met. And that really was a big shift for me. So that turned into 18 months. That 12 months turned into 18 months. And then at that age is when we actually took a bit of a break from travel because Jaden was due to start homeschooling. But by then I was like, totally shifted my perspective on life, and I didn't want to go back to the grind. So we did a bit of a period in a house after that.
Mm. So that was what year? 2009, roughly?
No, we took off mid 2012. So that would have been 2014 by the time we moved into a house.
Mm.
I planned on sending Jaden to school. I never intended on homeschooling him. I was an accidental homeschooler. Jaden wasn't quite ready socially, emotionally, and communicatively to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to homeschool him. And we gradually morphed into a child-led education where I use his interests and passions and everyday life to facilitate an education instead of a predefined curriculum.
Yes.
And it worked amazingly for Jaden. And at the end of the year, he was happy, I was happy. And I thought, well, if this isn't broken, why would I try and fix it?
Mm.
So we decided to homeschool for another year. And that just kept on. After 3 years in a house, we then packed up and took off traveling again.
Unbelievable, mate. One word that you use there, which I've never heard, is child-led education.
Yeah, so it's, look, these days it's commonly known as unschooling. Schooling being the process of a teacher teaching the child. Unschooling is the opposite. You're using your child as they lead their education. And so my job is not to teach Jaden. My job is to become a facilitator and facilitate a holistic education using areas that are of interest to him. So just like if I was to sit here, I've been a skateboarder for 25 years. If I was to sit here and talk to you about skateboarding for 2 hours and you have no interest in it, you wouldn't retain any information.
Hmm.
The same thing applies to my son, especially being on the spectrum.
Yes.
So it was a real process of making it an engaging, interesting education, but also working on the areas that were more important for his development, which was his social, his emotional stuff, his communication stuff. Because if he could recite the periodic table, but he couldn't communicate his own needs, he wasn't going to go anywhere in life. Or if he couldn't care for himself or cook a meal, which these sorts of things can be quite common with adults on the spectrum. They struggle to do basic self-care things. Mm. So a real balance of self-care versus kind of academia, but facilitating that through everyday life and his love of cars and love of learning and our travels. And it just creates a very happy, cohesive family environment where there's no stress, there's no stress at all. The idea is to create someone who loves learning, create a lifelong learner. Yes. And creates a platform for someone to know that they can seek any bit of information they want if they so wish.
Amazing, mate. Well, if you had said to me when I was a 7 or 8 year old boy, what do you want to do that's help your life develop around that, I would have jumped at the chance, but we were sort of taken off into a curriculum which was not really connected with what we wanted as individuals. And it's taken a shitload of work to unpack all that and release all that. And I think a lot of issues that we experience in modern life as adults, we're all sort of bored about in our younger school years because some of the traumas and shit that went on.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually an amazing talk by Sir Ken Robinson, rest in peace because he's passed away now, called "Do Schools Kill Creativity?" It's an amazing piece. I get goosebumps. Look at that. I get goosebumps just saying it. Where he talks about how school bashes these passions and interests out of you. I mean, for me, from that 7 or 8 year old, wanted to be the father I always had.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am now at 40, coming full circle and going, oh shit, this is actually what I want to create, something where I can, you know, make a make an impact and also help the next generation of young men, which is ultimately what 7-year-old me wanted to do. But it's taken me, you know, 33 years to get back there.
Incredible, mate. Because you never had the father in your life.
No. He actually left my mother because she fell pregnant. And he wanted to terminate and my mother didn't want to. And so he checked out and that was it.
Jeez, yeah. So you just left the relationship. You've never had a relationship with him?
No, never met him.
Never met him?
Never met him.
There's a few guys I know that have been in that situation. How's that been for you personally? Did you struggle with it when you were young?
Look, when I was young, I didn't struggle with the fact that I didn't have a father so much as I struggled with the fact that when I was growing up, homosexuality wasn't a thing that was accepted.
That was your mum.
Yeah, my mum, yeah. So my struggle came from the fact that I was told from a young age that people were going to judge us harshly if they found out what our family situation was like, which 35 years ago was 100% true. So that was the hardest part, that I had to lie about my family life and my upbringing and my reality. And it took me a lot of counselling to really understand how that had affected me as an adult, and had given me that subconscious thought of, you know, I need to be accepted, I need to do whatever I need to be accepted, because it subconsciously taught me that I wouldn't be accepted for who I was from a very young age, from 5 or 6. As for actually missing a father, look, you don't miss something you've never had. My mum and her partner, you know, they worked really hard and ran restaurants and things like that. So, you know, I had a fair amount of freedom, which was good. I fell in love with skateboarding, so that kept me out of trouble. So I wouldn't say that I missed the father figure. There were certainly periods where I missed the normality of a mum and dad and white picket fence and being able to bring friends over and not have to lie about this bedroom being for mum's friend and all that sort of stuff, because it's not, you know, I mean, mum was doing it for the right reason. So I've had this conversation with her many times before. But the subconscious stuff that it was creating was, you know, stuff that I had to unpack in the future. But certainly I wouldn't say that I missed not having a father there. It was more so the judgments from society whom were not affected by my mother's sexuality. Their opinions is what made my life difficult.
Yes.
Not the actual lack of father.
So where were you raised?
So up until about 9 or 10, we were in Brisbane and then on the Gold Coast from there. And then we did a couple of years in Grafton and then back on the Gold Coast. So Brisbane and Gold Coast, born and bred.
What was it like for you as a young bloke, like through the school system?
Look, I coped. I got through school. I hated school. I genuinely walked out of school halfway through year 11 believing I was a moron and would never amount to anything. I remember the when I said to mum that I was going to fail year 11 and, you know, I wanted to leave school, she said, go and get a job. And I applied for a job the next day, and the day after that I may or may not have been sneaking out of school to go home to have a little bit of the devil's grass while my mum was at work. And I got home and there was a note from mum that said, call Roy Pritchard from Best and Less. I called him straight back and he said, got the job, you know, when can you start? And I went, tomorrow. And I walked back to school and I got my shit and I walked out. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
Okay.
And when I walked out, all I believed I was capable of doing was becoming a retail assistant in a surf or skate shop, because that was my love. That was all I was ever going to be capable of. That was as high as I could set my goals.
Unbelievable. So where did it progress for you from there? Like, did you work in that space for a while?
Look, we were there. We were in Grafton for a couple of years, and then we moved back to the Gold Coast. And I was looking for some work. And at the time, the restaurant that mum and her partner Reb had was not doing really well, and we were struggling financially, and it was like, you need to get a job to pay some bills. It wasn't, you know, go and find a job you want. And mum was looking at the newspaper back in those days when you looked at ads in the newspaper, and she said to me, Cam, there's a childcare job here. You know, you enjoy working with, you enjoy kids. What about childcare? And I was like, yeah, I do enjoy kids. So I went and applied for the job, which was a traineeship, got that, and that started my early childhood career, which was very interesting to start off with.
So you were pretty equipped to be able to look after a young son independently on your own when Jaden came along.
100%.
Yeah.
It's very different looking after one child one-on-one 24/7 for a decade compared to having other people's 24 kids from someone else until 5 o'clock.
Hand them back.
Very different. Yeah. Early childhood was tricky early on because there were plenty of people that were not for males in childcare. And I had more than a few mothers that made that very clear, which was something very tough to deal with as a just 15 and a half, 16-year-old, having people refuse to let their kid go near you and, you know, the kid go, no, my mum said you can't go, I can't play with you. Or them hiding behind one-way glass and those sorts of things. So that was a lot for me to process. I wasn't allowed to take children to the toilet or change nappies because I was told by the director, males can't be trusted around the children. So that was... I came home in tears. That was my first day. It was a ruthless experience. But over time, that kind of did shift a little bit.
How long did you work in childcare for?
I did about 7.5 years in early childhood all up. There was about a year at the end where I was actually just a nanny, which was great because I only had two kids to look after and I had a car and money to spend and we could go out and do all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, just under 8 years in all. And I ended up leaving that career because I was already qualified. I was already an assistant director and there wasn't much more career progression and I was 21. So that's when I kind of gravitated towards IT.
Unbelievable. So you got into it pretty early.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was as young as you can be to get a traineeship in Queensland when I applied. I think I actually had to wait 2 or 3 weeks to start to be able to get that traineeship.
Unbelievable, yeah. So, yeah.
At 18, I was in charge of a before and after school care setup that was picking up from 6 different schools with 36 kids and 2 staff members underneath me at 18.
Incredible, yeah. Tell me this, what did you do to keep yourself occupied, like, you know, socially or how was your mental health back then?
Look, from the age that I first engaged in a bit of weed, I wouldn't say I'd abused it at a young age, but I certainly smoked a fair bit. And then, honestly, throughout my adult life, alcohol was a constant. It wasn't that I was drinking to excess every single night, but I grew up in the hospitality industry. Everybody has knockoff drinks at the end of every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until my mid-20s where I said to a friend, you want me to get you some drinks? And she said, no, I don't drink during the week. And I was like, why not? And she said, most people don't drink during the week. And it was like, don't they? Like it was as normalized as it could be being in that industry. So over the years, look, I've masked my struggles and put my goals underneath a veil of alcohol. Again, not every day, but I've not used it healthily. So it's a, you know, I've had a really bad day. Oh, I want a drink.
Yeah.
And I, through skateboarding, have done a pretty good job of making a mess of my body. So weed has been something that I've used on and off over the years. I no longer do, but have used on and off over the years just to help me sleep because chronic pain can be quite a thing on your mental state because then you don't sleep. And then when you don't sleep, your mental health goes down.
Yes. Yeah.
But look, since I made the decision to travel with Jaden, although I did still have times where, you know, alcohol was used as a coping mechanism, I've dedicated a huge amount of time to mastering my own psychology, because when it's just you and there's no partner and there's no family and there's no support network and there's no anyone around, you got to do what you can to keep your shit together. Keep so going, it's been a roller coaster. You know, I wouldn't say I've had major downs, like, you know, it's close to suicidal downs or anything. But honestly, throughout my whole life up until very recently, my biggest thing that I had to let go of was that I believed that I was a burden on everyone. Even with 10,000 people following my writing, I still felt like I was a burden on anyone. I didn't want to ask for anything from anyone. And that all came from the subconscious stuff from when I was young, knowing my dad left because he didn't want to be there and people weren't going to accept me. So that's probably the biggest thing I've had to overcome is just...
Big self-worth issue.
Yeah,
it's pretty common, you know, in a lot of blokes, to be honest with you. And when we start to feel negative, that goes down a lot more, you know, it drops away. But something we've got to work on, we've got to try and actually value ourselves. And it's very... wouldn't say it's not easy, but it's something which needs attention, because we've actually, like as men, been trained away from that self-love feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to try and put some time into ourselves so we can live a bit more consciously, I think it's really our birthright at the end of the day. But I reckon, mate, you've had lots of ups and downs and challenges all the way through.
Definitely.
But what I'm curious about is obviously when your partner and that split up, what was that like for you back then?
Look, I wouldn't, I can't lie and say that it was difficult for me. Mm. I had tried to make the relationship work with Jaden's mum, and we got to a point where the things that would have meant that I continued in the relationship, which was her working and me being a stay-at-home father, weren't coming to fruition after years and years. And if I'm completely honest, I kind of knew from the start that she wasn't the one. Jaden was an accident. He knows this. He's sitting right next to us. You guys don't have video, but we've had these discussions before. So Jaden's, understanding of the entire situation. And honestly, it was a freeing experience, because I felt obliged to try and make the relationship work because I had a child with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I did for a couple of years after she fell pregnant, and also helped raise her daughter as my own. So it was freeing when that happened. So it wasn't a negative thing. It was like, wow, now, I can move forward here. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I had plenty of challenges after that, because 2.5-year-olds with autism aren't easy going.
Mm.
It was a freeing thing, because I had wanted to for a while. I had a friend of mine when Jaden was a newborn. We were sitting at a pub and we were playing pokies. She haven't played pokies for years. Anyway, we're sitting at a pub playing pokies, and she said, "Cam, I can see you're not happy. Like, what are you going to do?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I can see you're not happy with Jess. Like, what are you going to do about it?" And I looked her square in the eyes and said, "I'll wait until Jaden's two, and then I'll leave her and take Jaden." And she's like, what the fuck? What? And I went, "That's all I've got. I can't put my 3-month-old baby in childcare, and nor would I." I said, "That's the best option I've got for now." And she just sat there with it, picking her jaw up off the ground. Mm-hmm. So when I finally let go of that, I need to be in a relationship to make it work, because we have a child together, it was very freeing.
For sure. Yeah, so that attachment, move that attachment on.
And for me, mum, dad, white picket fence, that was on the highest possible pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what I struggled with afterwards, was that I'd broken up that white picket fence. But it was a freeing feel. I let go of something I always wanted, but I felt free at the same time. Yeah, so it was just conflicting emotions.
Yeah, it's a bit of an illusion that we sort of hold on to, and we've felt, is necessary. But sometimes when you make a decision to move away from the norm per se, it's actually like liberating to be able to have the ability to do whatever you want when you want.
Mm. And it was a similar thing when I started travelling too. And I remember driving down the highway when we first hit the highway with Jaden, three in the back. And it hit me that I was free. It had been 6 months of selling everything and decking out the caravan and installing solar. I wasn't one of these $150,000 in a setup. I drove away car, caravan, solar, everything for $20,000. Mm. So I did it all myself. Learned from basics. Learned from not knowing the difference between a watt, a volt and an ohm to decking out my entire solar myself.
Incredible.
And I hit this highway for the first time and I was like, holy shit, I'm free. And I'm driving. I'd only ever towed a caravan 20 kilometres, pulling onto the highway in Brisbane, north side of Brisbane, tears streaming down my face. I can barely see. Jaden's in the back going, "Dad, why are you sad face?" I'm bawling because it hit me like I'm free. Oh my gosh, like this is what I always wanted. Goosebumps at my back now. So it was very freeing, but it was also a very difficult process to go through.
Mm.
My morals and values shifted drastically. Very quickly. And so I very quickly found myself having nothing in common with my social circle, the one that had been there for a long time. And I'd learned about boundaries while I did my counselling, but all of a sudden I had nothing in common with people that were my friends. And so that became very isolating. I met lots of people on the road, but they're transient relationships for the most part. You know, you can sit down and have a great conversation. But they're going to move on in a day or two. I actually love travelers because people that are long-term travelers, they don't do surface level conversations. You kind of have a little bit of a feel each other out. And if you click, then you're like 20 minutes and you're like deep and meaningful conversations, like sharing your life's secrets and things like that.
That's cool. No, mate, well, that all happened for a reason. You know, that all moved on. Yeah, it takes courage to be able to do that and actually give yourself the ability to open yourself up to be free. And that's one of the things that hopefully the listeners here will get is if you've got those blocks in your road, what can you do to get rid of those blocks so I can help you, move into a life that you want to live?
Mm. And that was one of the big things. So many people said to me, what are you doing? You got a good job. You got a beautiful car. Like, why are you throwing all this away? Like, I was drowning emotionally. You know, it full-time work, super high-stress job, three-year-old on the spectrum. I was leaving home at 6:15 in the morning, getting home at 6:00 at night, having to do the household stuff, try and find time with Jaden. You know, an incredibly high-stress job where people just call you and yell at you all day because your shit's broken. That's what my job was to fix stuff in IT as a network administrator. I was probably 6 months away from a total emotional breakdown when I engaged the counsellor and then started exercising and started moving forward. Mm. Like I was not on a good path. Mm. So
that got you back on track, the movement, physical movement.
Yeah.
What did that look like for you?
Look, initially when we started travelling, it was really, really hard because Jaden was only 3.5. I couldn't go and run 7K anymore. What the hell am I going to do with a 3.5-year-old? Mm. So there were long periods there where there was really no exercise per se other than stretching and stuff for my back and to help my ability to sit in a car and drive and pick Jaden up and do all those sorts of things. So there's a very long period, years and years and years, where I really didn't do enough once we started traveling because I couldn't carry 20 kilos of weights because I'm in a caravan and I've got weight restrictions. And couldn't go running because I had Jaden, and you know, there was probably a bit of excuse making there as well. Mm-hmm. Truth be told, because I could have figured out other ways, but there was certainly it's difficult to manage by yourself when you've got a kid.
Mm, for sure, but you seem to have made it work okay.
Now Jaden and I, we work out every morning together, and you know, do our breath work together, and meditate together, Jaden's now coming around to meditation and breath work. I think he's just heard and seen enough people talking about it. It's no longer woo-woo shit that Dad talks about. It's actually something that people that Jaden look up to,
yes, you know, absolutely, are
talking about manifesting and visualizations and those sorts of things.
Yeah, so yeah,
he's been exposed to enough people now that it's not
that really needs to be taught at school.
And absolutely.
It's not, you know. So, you know, good on you for having your son exposed to that sort of thing, because it's It's part of who we are, is to get calm or be calm and actually understand to live life from that space, you know. So if he's able to develop those skills now, that's wonderful. You know, we were brought up into stress, weren't we? Like, you know, school, work, all that sort of thing, your mind's switched on. If you've got a young fella that's, you know, able to stay grounded, that can help them, you know, all throughout life.
Mm, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It took me a long time to really see the value in it. I spent a lot of time learning and studying, not formally, but psychology and the brain. I found you can do a introduction to psychology course that Jordan Peterson did through Harvard 15 years ago. And it's like 35 hours of lectures and a couple of hundred hours of reading and like that sort of stuff. Because all I ever wanted to be actually was a child psychologist. And then once I got qualified, I wanted more money straight away. I didn't want to go and study for another 4 years. So that kind of went down the drain.
Mm.
But it took me a long time to really see the value in meditation and those sorts of things. I was actually Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself from Joe Dispenza that book closed the gap between the woo-woo stuff that I kind of felt and believed and putting some actual science behind it that worked for my analytical mind and go, oh, okay, this is actually true. You know, This is why, you know, atoms that are vibrating on the same level are actually attracted together. So that's why people that are on a similar vibration are going to be naturally attracted together.
Yes.
And starting to understand that stuff and then understanding how important your mindset was in facilitating all that. So it was a whole big decade-long journey. And if I hadn't have done that, there's absolutely no way I could have sustained what I've done with Jaden for 10 years without respite. You know, I used to hate my 2-hour return trip to and from work on the train. I'd do an hour one way, hour the other way. There were years of my life where I was like, you know what I would give for 1 hour on a train in silence? I would give anything. Like,
I can imagine.
But yeah, that investing that time and effort into myself is what enabled me to keep my shit together through the tough times. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still, you know, had times where anger overran me and, you know, you let it all out. But yeah, getting that self-awareness and quieting myself and removing the distractions and all that sort of stuff was really critical part in that process.
Amazing, mate. So with regards to the journey, like, where did you go? Like, just in Queensland or throughout Australia?
No, look, we mainly did the East Coast. We really travelled more as a lifestyle. It wasn't... People go these days, oh, I want to go and travel Australia. I'm going to do a lap in 12 months. Here's the 45 places I want to visit. And then they drag their kids along with them. And then they wonder why their kids hate it. For us, it was a lifestyle. We travelled very small amounts when we did travel, 3 to 5 hours max. We stopped regularly. When we did find somewhere that we pulled up, we would stay there for a minimum of 3 days, up to months. So we managed a farm stay in northern New South Wales, which is also a cattle station. Spent months there. When we left, we went and did another, I think, 8 or 10 months traveling, and we ran out of money and went, shit, let's go back to Bathurst and, you know, manage the farm stay again. So our travel map is not like the beautiful map around Australia up through the middle. It's like you gave, you know, a 4-year-old a pen and they just scribbled all over the map, because we just went up and down the coast and left and right and here and there. And, you know, we got a message from someone on our blog while we were on the Sunshine Coast saying, oh, I can get you some tickets to the Bathurst 6-hour. I know Jaden's nuts into cars. So we hitched up the caravan and drove from the Sunshine Coast to Bathurst over 4 days, so we could take Jaden to see the Bathurst 12-hour for the first time. Mm. Like, we missed the entirety of Queensland and the south coast of Queensland and, you know, all of New South Wales. We just kept driving. But then once we were in Bathurst, things fell together and we ended up picking up some work at the farm stay. And so it's just it's done as a lifestyle. You treat it as a lifestyle. You don't go out and do every single paid attraction just because it's, you know, just because it's there.
Mm.
We had times where we free camped most of the time, because when you have 4 or 5 days at home, you're not spending anything. If you're in a caravan park and you have 4 or 5 days there, it's still costing you $50 a day. That's $200 to sit in your caravan that you own. And we had solar, so we didn't need the power. Mm. So yeah, we made it sustainable, picked up bits and pieces of work. I mean, I do get some support from the government, which is something that a lot of people don't like the idea of, that I quit my job to do this with Jaden and I get government funding for it.
Mm.
I'm actually writing an article at the moment that's entitled, I Quit My Job to Go Travelling with My Autistic Son on Taxpayers' Benefits. You're welcome. Now, the premise behind that whole article is that because I've taken this on myself and I homeschool Jaden, I don't get any extra money for homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
But what does happen is the school doesn't get paid $23,000 a year for having a child with autism on top of the $16,000 they already get. I'm not claiming the $45,000 worth of NDIS I can get a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not claiming before and after school care. Yes, I'm not paying taxes, but I've done the sums and I'm saving the government about $26,000 a year in taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
So I have no qualms about that. Some people do, but I don't.
Mm.
So that money helped us tick along. And then when I picked up extra work, we had extra money to spend, and we went to the snow and went to Magnetic Island, and Jaden and I went up to Darwin for 3 months so we could go and drive a drift car. And, you know, when we got the money, we spend it. When we don't, well, we stay at home and
do whatever.
Do other stuff.
Incredible, mate.
Yeah. A lifestyle, not a holiday.
So it's 2024. Jaden's 15.
He's 15.
What's the plan now moving forward?
So in the past couple of years, my plans and goals have all slowly started to come together. My love of children, helping the next generation, helping parents with their own neurodiverse children, and neurotypical, so on the spectrum, not on the spectrum, additional needs, this, that, the other, is what I want to do with my life. Mm-hmm. I've done it informally and not charged a cent for well over a decade, and helped one-on-one you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, and through my writing have reached hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And I always get messages saying, thank you, you've inspired me to do this. And that's the thing that fills my cup. And so now we find ourselves on a property that's, you know, 50 plus acres, whereby I want to set up a learning and a healing facility, not just for neurodiverse children, but also something aimed at helping young men. So my plan is to continue doing what I love, is just helping people. But I need to monetize it because I can't live on hopes and dreams. Yeah. And hopes and dreams does not build the property. I just had deja vu. That's bizarre. Hopes and dreams doesn't build the property. So through some mentoring and stuff that I'm going to be, or that I am offering now through NDIS, that's going to help enable me to build the property up to create a learning facility that will be a walk-in and walk-out experience for families. So if you are a family and you have a child with additional needs, you will contact us and explain your situation. It won't be a campground. It'll be, you know, case-by-case basis of accepting accepting families. And so they will be able to walk in literally just with the food that they need, and everything will be set up for them. There'll be a tent, there'll be bedding, all that sort of stuff, because just going camping with a family is not a cheap exercise. You need hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. You need your tent and all your cooking gear. All of that will be done. So families will be able to walk in, and we will do an immersive experience with them and their children, using animals, nature, gardening, woodwork, metalwork, mechanics, to expose their children to different ideas and different things. I've been lucky enough through what I've done to have those experiences with people and give them small little insights into something that's changed their life forever. And also give their parents some real guidance around how they can move forward with their children, so they can how they can help their children grow and develop. Because obviously I have a lot more understanding of early childhood and autism and the brain and those sorts of things than what the average family does. So yeah, just use my skills to help those families. And also really the aim of that is just to fund the property and be able to offer something for young men to be able to come out, and whether they have a father or don't have a father, similar sort of thing, be exposed to different ideas and experiences, get them out there doing some woodwork and making primitive tools and shelters and cooking on a fire and things that are very normal to Jaden and I, because that's how we live. But expose them to different things. You know, Jaden's setting up a youth motorsport team at the moment to help get young kids that are interested in cars working on a race car. So yeah, just trying to help young men find purpose, and also in a way that will be taken on board by teenagers, introduce concepts around being open and sharing and sharing your struggles and finding someone to open up to, and tapping into your testosterone and using it for good, and all those things that have been bashed out of men. And now you have all these young men sitting behind computers and then they explode in fits of rage. Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, spot on.
So really absolutely giving them an outlet.
So you've got a son that's living in flow. Like, he's living in nature. He's living doing things that he wants to do. The average young man out there isn't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young men that don't have male role models in their lives. Mm. There's also a lot of young men that are angry and confused and upset, that need guidance, they need renaturing, and they need, you know, connection again. That's really what you want to
do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just give them an experience that they wouldn't have had before. And open them up to a whole bunch of new ideas and possibilities, not just around what they could pursue in life, but around how to live. And, you know, be able to offer them a mentor, because I'll be looking at having several men that will be able to help fulfill this. When they're struggling, you know, shoot off a message, oh, I'm struggling with da 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 da. And similar to what you're doing in the men's circle, but in a little bit more of a 2024 technological landscape, where young people may not want to ask their mum and dad to drive them to a men's circle so they can vent all their frustration and anger. So they can just, you know, pick up a phone and go, oh, you know, Cam, I'm really struggling with this, and engage them in that way after their initial experience with us.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Cool, mate. That sounds amazing. Oh, like that needs to get up because this, as I mentioned, there's so many young blokes that need a hand, but, you know, the potential to have somewhere which is focused and based on that, there's nothing in this region, and there's probably not much around regional Australia.
No.
So we've got to try and find or create space for this to be a focal point where people can go to so they can disconnect and reconnect, if that makes sense, and learn new skills and all that type of thing. Because there's a massive gap. You look at juvenile justice and the amount of young blokes that are getting in trouble and punished for their behaviours, but they're not actually being listened to.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's something that I felt passionate about for a long time. And just recently, Jaden and I did a homeschool summit. And I talked about a boy who, through an experience of visiting our place and coming and help us work on a quad bike, fell in love with mechanics. And now he's 22, works up at the mines and owns his own apartment. And he was a 14-year-old on the spectrum with no passion, no drive, no interests, no anything other than his Xbox. And now he's absolutely killing it. And he's got more understanding of finances and businesses and things than I do at 40. Because he found something and he made his money and he's, you know, really got some direction. So, look, even if once a year one person's life I change, it's all going to be worthwhile.
So how are you going to make it happen?
Look, it's already underway. The main thing at the moment is I've just set up some crowdfunding for some people that follow us who are willing to donate just on a buy me a coffee, so anything from $5 a month, to help us start to set up the property, because our financial state, we've hammered it pretty well. And so that will help with the property, and also my homeschool and autism and parenting mentoring, because people can use their NDIS money to pay for that. I can set that up as a business and not be limiting myself or other people to accessing help because they can use their NDIS funding. And that will help facilitate things moving forward. We've got 2 40-foot shipping containers coming, which is full of stuff. I've got someone organized to do land clearing, which will be land clearing for campsites and those sorts of things. We've got a spring-fed dam on site, so we've got water on site. It'll all be off-grid. I've got all the understanding of doing most of that stuff. So really the big thing, as with all of these projects and dreams that stands in the way, is just connections and money. Being able to, you know, we're on a 50-acre property that we walked into. It was all bushland. We couldn't even drive in the front gate. There wasn't a front gate. And then we had to cut the fence and then get a bobcat to clear us in. So we're starting from nothing. So, but as things have all started to fall into place, it's the path has really made itself clear. So just day by day, we just keep moving forward. And
good on you, mate.
It's getting real, which is fantastic, because it's been a long time coming. And
so yeah. What's the timeline on it, and what will it be called, do you think?
We haven't thought of a name. If you're a creative person and you can think of a name, by all means, send me an email. I haven't thought of a name. I'm for the youth thing, I'm looking at something around a lads retreat or lads escape. And I'm also looking at offering weekends with their fathers, so doing like a lads and dads, to help the fathers get out there and reconnect, it because it's not just the youth.
Yeah.
The youth are missing those male role models because their fathers don't have that connection to that stuff as well. So they get them out there and smashing wood with axes and, you know, welding shit and doing manly stuff. Let's call it doing manly stuff.
Yep.
I haven't really thought of a name. Within 6 months, we'll have our first guests. We'll start off on a smaller scale, only one or two families to start with. And then as we get more people, I hope to get one or two other families on the property that share our vision and want to be a part of it to help maintain it. Because I'm about to launch a podcast as well. I'm working on a couple of books. I'm doing mentoring. And I've got Jaden with his businesses and his race car. And then a 50-acre property to try and build. And then I haven't even spent an hour with a guest yet. So... I need to
work all that out.
Get a bit more help ongoing, And maybe put some things on the back burner and prioritise a few
happen,
more
mate.
Things. But no, definitely no, yeah. 6 months, within 6 months, we'll be accepting guests.
So it's at Mount Moriah, which is sort of between Bundaberg and Agnes Water.
That's
is that
the
right?
one, yeah. So it's about an hour north of Bundy.
And you'll obviously be able to promote that and advertise as it gets closer.
Absolutely.
And just start off small, as you said, but just sort of create it into something which can be quite unique.
Yeah.
So I think once that happens, you make a start, then things will come. Things will start to, you know, sort of progress quite rapidly, I think, because there's such a need for it.
And look, when I put it out there and said that we landed on this property and this is what my goal is and this is what I wanted to do, we've got a very loyal group of followers. Plenty of our followers have followed us from 10 plus years ago. People were like, yes, when can we come and stay? I want to be there. Like, book me in. So we just have to get to that point, which is the hardest part because I don't have any extra income, but I've got a shitload of extra expenses. So,
yes. Yeah.
But yeah, look on our Facebook page, which is Cam and Jaden's Excellent Adventure. Which was never meant to be a blog. I fell into writing, but that's a whole other story. That will share the updates of the property as it gets closer. And in time, once we decide on a name, the property will then have its own social media and everything else to promote it. But yeah, it'll be promoted through my blog for now.
Incredible, mate. I think, once people are aware of it and they start to utilise the space, it'll really take off.
Mm.
But people can look at you on Facebook. So Cam and Jaden's Excellent Adventure.
That's the one, yep.
And not on Instagram or anything like that?
Look, I am on Instagram. I am a writer. I posted a 1,200-word article this morning. I have a 2,200-character limit on Instagram, which is about a quarter of most of my articles. Some of the shorter ones I post on there, but Instagram's not conducive to people who want to write.
Yeah.
I'm not into taking pretty photos. The photos, just because I have to put a photo up to grab people's attention. Otherwise, I just write and not take photos of myself. So we are on Instagram. We're just Cam and Jaden on Instagram. We're also Cam and Jaden on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also Cam and Jaden on Buy Me a Coffee, which is the crowdfunding.
Shit. Okay. I'll have to have a look at that. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Amazing, mate. So how can people get hold of you through Facebook? Have you got an email or something?
Yeah, look, you can get me on cam@camandjaden, which is jaiden.com. So we do have a website, which is camandjaden.com.
Okay.
And that has a reasonable repository of about 12 years worth of our journey and homeschooling. I did lose a lot of articles when we got hacked 18 months ago, like we were talking about before we came on air. But there's 12 plus years of our parenting, home education, traveling journey, my life thoughts, my own journey, Jaden's journey, because we could probably do a podcast on that in itself.
For sure.
There's a lot of stuff there. But I actually initially just created it because I got sick of answering the same questions over and over again.
Mm.
So I just put all my old articles on the website. So then when someone asked me a question, I could just go and search a keyword and send them an article and not have to type the same answer 65 times over.
Clever.
Yeah,
amazing, mate. Well, I tell you what, I really hope that people, possibly reach out to you, and I want you to share this far and wide to hear an example of what's possible for a man that is at the crossroads of his life, and what can come, you know, when you've got challenges like being a single dad at, you know, early 20s or whatever it was, or early 30s, late 20s, and then having a 3-year-old to take care of. That's amazing, mate, and it's full credit to you for all that. But to see the magnificent young man that Jaden is, and also the potential that other people possibly have to be able to help their kids become homeschooled, because me personally, one of the biggest lessons that I learned was I used to teach yoga to young people. And I taught elite private school kids and I taught homeschool kids, and it was absolute chalk and cheese.
You
know,
yeah.
One's where they're paying their parents, you know, other parents are paying maybe 10 grand a term, elite schools or more, and they're stressed out of their eyeballs to kids that are homeschooled but you're relaxed and fluent. What would you rather be?
The first exposure I had to homeschool kids, I was like, wow, these parents have done an exceptional job with these children. They're some of the most well-adjusted children I've ever met. And working in before and after school care, I'd worked with primary school age kids, you know, hundreds of them, thousands of them. And then I met another homeschool family and they were the same, and another homeschool family and they were the same. And that's kind of when it started to undo those those antiquated beliefs that I had around what homeschooling actually meant and what homeschool kids were actually like. So yeah, they're very different to their mainstream counterparts. That's
Agree. That's amazing, mate. I'm so grateful that we've had the chat, because there's been lots of wisdom in this one, and hopefully this will be the start of some more, and look forward definitely. To hearing your own podcast when that sort of gets up and cracking.
Absolutely. I'll put you on the guest list, brother.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, man. Appreciate you.